We ask the question, why is this psalm vital? Why is it essential? Why must we take our time this morning to spend a part of our life in meditating on this psalm? Well, it's a psalm of contrast. It's vital to the Christian because it is our source of peaceful comfort. To the sinner, it's the source of disturbing conviction. So in our exposition of this psalm, we turn to verses 1 to 6 and learn of the omniscience of God and summarize that with the first statement, simply this: He knows me. He, Creator, knows me. One of billions of human beings, He knows me. And I thought of this question: how much does He know? How much does He know me and about me? Well, of course, the answer is everything. The knowledge of God about us is revealed in verses 1 through 6. He knows me with His attribute of omniscience. First of all, internally. This psalm says He knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows my attitudes. And that word always brings up a smile or a laugh to my heart. As Chris and Becky's children were a little younger, and they were not responding well, Chris or Becky would say, "You're having an attitude. You go to your room." Wonder how many times the Lord had to say that to us. He knows our attitudes. He knows our moods. He knows our dispositions. Now, we excuse ourselves for misbehavior and misconduct, excusing ourselves as being moody and having dispositions, and we can't do that. He knows our anxieties. He knows our greed, our selfishness. He knows our fears. He knows our anger and our hatred. God knows our motives. And Christian behavior is not just outward conduct. It is biblical motivation. He knows our mindset. He knows them. The omniscience of God. He knows when we're uptight. He knows all the negatives. But He also knows the good things. He knows our love. He knows about our rejoicing and our joy. And He knows about our peaceful spirit. God knows. Now it also says He knows our speech. There is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, You know it altogether. And He knows it before we say it. Internal omniscience. There is also the external knowledge of God concerning us. He knows our behavior. He knows our conduct. He knows our sin. In fact, it's expressed here, He knows when we're sitting down, knows when we're standing up, knows when we're lying down, knows when we're walking around, knows our path. He knows our lifestyle. The positive side, he knows our worship. He knows our service. God knows us. God knows you. And God knows me. What he knows. Bill Russell is making some commercial ads, and Bill Russell is possibly the greatest basketball center that ever played. He played with the Boston Celtics, and he was best known for blocking shots. And in this commercial, he says about his opponent, he says, "I know him. I know what he thinks. I know what he likes. I know what he doesn't like. I know what he likes to do. I know what he doesn't like to do." He says, "I know so much about him, I blocked his shot before he tries it." Well, that's a very interesting commercial. Reminded me of Psalm 139. What God knows in his omniscience. Now just think of this knowledge of God. He knows everything. There is nothing new to God. There are no surprises. He has always known everything all at once. He is not learning. He is not being educated. He has always known everything about everything. Now, personalize that. He knows everyone he created. How many billion on the earth this morning, just this morning? Well, there's at least 3, maybe many more. He knows everyone at the same time. Calcutta, the streets are teeming with people. Singapore, New York, everywhere. He knows everyone with full knowledge. He knows you. He knows me. And the response is verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain. Isaiah said, "Lord, your ways are above my ways. Your thoughts are above my thoughts." How do you apply this then? Simply to bow in humble worship and say, "You are God." And thinking about sermonizing, you're taught in class to get the introduction and the body, make a conclusion and application. And I am here to say to you this morning, I have no application. Other than to say to us, let's bow in humble worship of our God. And if this truth doesn't cause that, there's nothing I can say to bring it about. He knows me. Now the result of that for us believing people is great comfort. And this knowing includes understanding. And the understanding includes sympathizing. Why? Because he was here. Because he's human. And he knows the circumstance, the attitude, why I think what I think and why I say what I say, and it brings great comfort. What a peaceful way to live. He knows what I'm going through. And if he knows, it's all right. On the other hand, for those who are living in unbelief and sin, the fact that he knows brings a disturbing conviction. I don't want him to know what I'm thinking. I don't want him to know what I'm saying. I don't want him to know where I am, because it isn't right with him. And the sin and the guilt pile up heavily. There's no escape. He knows. David continues in verses 7 through 12 to say, he not only knows me, he's with me. The attribute of omnipresence. And we read that where it says there's nowhere you can go, no way to escape. God is there. He is with us. And he is with all of us at the same time. And our neighbors have 5 children. It's a wonderful family. And they seem to be really together. And they're able to keep track of those 5. Hannah Wesley had 21 children. And the statement about her life is that she devoted herself to each one of them. That's a human wonder. But just think of God. Attention to everyone he's created at the same time, everywhere. And the psalmist goes into a discussion of, well, maybe when it's dark, he can't find me. That's why the saloons and the bars and the nightclubs are always dark, because people don't want to be caught in here. How do I know that? Well, somebody told me. There's nowhere a person could go. His omnipresence has no limit. He is with us. And the preposition with means together. We're going together. Again, to the believer who loves the Lord and wants to live for the Lord, how comforting this is. I'm in this deep troubled sea. He's with me. I'm in this terrible circumstance. He's with me. And he never forsakes me. This is great, great comfort. Contrast to the unbelieving who are not concerned about following the Lord and his truth, the great conviction that is there. Wherever we go, we take the Lord. How guilty we feel about that. And so he knows us. He's with us. Thank the Lord. The third thing that David talks about is in verses 13 to 16. He not only knows me, he's not only with me, he has formed me. Even before the creation, he had me in mind, in his heart. And all the circumstances of my life. And he formed me internally and externally. He chose my parents. He chose the geography of where I would be born. He chose my elementary school, which I think is probably the best one that a young person could ever have. I had a great, great grammar school. I entered first grade with 6 kids, graduated 8th grade with 8 kids. Marvelous teaching, wonderful. Old school, built in 1888 with a bell and a belfry. With discipline. He did all that for you, for me. Pre-planned. External things, our appearance. How wonderful it is to accept God's work. His ability. His omnipotence. Not only external, but internal. We have this thing we call personality. Hard to define, isn't it? It's so different with each of us. We carry a personality, and when we are not together, and we're thinking of each other, probably the foremost thing that comes to mind is the personality of that person. And what are we talking about? It's just the way we are and the way we come across. And we are different. And God has arranged that. We don't have to be like another person. And on the external, the physical side of that, we think of God's forming. He formed us. He is forming us. And in this body, he has put a brain. Hopefully, that's true. Isn't the brain a magnificent instrument? When we talk about the brain and its component parts and its wires and sensors and connectors, we are talking in the billions. Our brain has a billion, and I don't know the exact term, wires, connectors, sensors, nerves. God formed the brain. God formed the blood system. This pumping station works on a magnetic impulse and carries gallons of blood through this body. I hadn't thought about that till this just now, that my heart is beating. we just go on in life and take that for granted. And sometimes we kid about each other. If somebody died, we say, what was the cause of his death? Well, his heart stopped. That's bottom line. And the components of the heart, white cells, blood cells, red cells, platelets, hemoglobin. Where'd all that come from? The mind of God. The brain, the blood system, the digestive system. Food, liquid, nutrients. And this terrible thing they call calories. All God knew all that. Isn't that amazing? He formed us. And it's also a present work. God is forming us. And we learn that about the potter and the clay from Jeremiah and from Romans. He is the potter. We are a hunk of clay. We want to be the potter. We want to be God. We want to control. But he's doing it. He has formed us. He is forming us. And he will form us to make us ready for our eternal home. To be in the image of God. Now, what is our response? Verse 17. And 18. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. What do we leave here with this morning? 17 and 18. Consider these truths. Meditate in these truths. Submit to this Lord God Almighty. Live in reverence toward him and think great thoughts of him. Thank him and praise him and serve him is our response to these great thoughts about our God, who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and immutable in that he does not change. He knows us. He is with us. And he is forming us according to his will. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow in prayer before you. We think of you in the eternal time when there was nothing but yourself, and you determined to create, and you did it like this, a personal God to persons like us. Thank you that you are personal. That you are not a force, you're not some theory out there in space, but you are personal, Lord God. you know us. Thank you this morning, you are here with us in every circumstance. And thank you that you are working, forming, shaping our lives. We submit to you and ask for your perfect will in our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.